Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Ireland is facing a national emergency in infrastructure. That's according to the chair of the Economic and Social Research Institute, Sean O'Driscoll. He says our transport, our housing, water systems, they're all in need of dire help, and not enough action has been taken to address it. Derek White is a town planner. Derek's with me here on the line today. Do you agree, Derek?
Absolutely, Andrea. Sean was very correct in what he said, and we're gone very top heavy in Ireland on our administrative over infrastructure projects. We have a serious problem in Ireland at the moment in that we have developers wishing to develop, but they don't have the infrastructure there. Water seem to be very slow at finding solutions to the problems in terms of capabilities to deliver the capacities that's needed. A very strange case going on at the moment in Gorin in County Kilkenny, where we have enough sewage capacity, but we don't have enough water capacity. And we're now reverting back to putting in private communal wells for housing estates, which is something that hasn't happened in my business in 25 years. So Sean is absolutely correct in what he says, and he's looking for people to really stand up and to make a very strong governmental decision, which is not happening at the moment.
Is it just that we're not making harsh enough decisions, Derek?
Yes, absolutely. What's happening is there's no one prepared to actually say, this is what we need to do. Here's our vision. And how do we get to that vision? You'll find that a lot of development is stymied with administration, especially in Irish Water. And I'm not here to give Irish Water a bad name, but they're very, very slow at making decisions. And the administrative side of it is really too slow for what developers are trying to do.
Yeah, but the other side of that, though, Derek, like, it's not that terribly long ago, people will remember when there was any suggestion about the introduction of water charges, so the country was out in the streets.
Yeah, that's true. And I would have been an advocate of water charges. We do need to have water charges in Ireland. Water is not free, and it shouldn't be free. But that's not an excuse for not providing it.
So what do we need to do then? Like, does it make any difference to say we're in a state of emergency?
Yes, absolutely. We do need to make that state of emergency because we're slowing down development savagely in Ireland because we don't have that follow on through from getting the planning permissions are being granted, but they're being stymied then with Irish Water not saying that the capacity is not there, and they don't give a timeline generally for when they will provide that infrastructure. And it's landing on developers now to find a method of bringing that infrastructure to the site, but then Irish Water are stymieing developers because they're just being too strict in their conditions of what they want for the infrastructure. So we definitely do need we don't need a housing SAR, but we could definitely do with an infrastructure SAR. We would definitely solve this problem.
Yeah, well, you'd wonder what the transport and the housing minister's portfolios are all about if we then need to have the introduction of separate SARs to handle all of this. Éan Ruthéireann's Barry Kenny is joining us too, Derek. Is our transport system, is that in a state of emergency, Barry?
Well, we're a very critical point, and it's not just about taking transport in isolation. I think it is all those interrelated. It is, you know, transport and, you know, rail development from our perspective, that it's not just for the ability for us to run more trains. It's to unlock the kind of infrastructure you need for housing, just as those other support infrastructure and utilities do as well. And I think, you know, we're thankfully through the planning process for a couple of major projects associated with DART Plus. We've had a very successful project in terms of funding and approvals quite quickly for the Cork area commuter rail, for example. For my colleague Glenn Carr was on with Kieran on the hard shoulder last night, talking about the major investment in Rosslare Europort, which has been delivered very quickly at huge scale the last while. And what we need is, I suppose, the pipeline of those projects to continue, because in the past, and I know the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said when he left office, his one regret was that we kind of turned off the tap on infrastructure and didn't turn it back on quickly enough. It's to keep that flow going, because the needs of the economy, of society, of the environment don't stop. They don't pause. And with the type of developments that is envisaged in the national planning framework in our cities and housing and industry development. That's why we need to keep going. So that's why we're at a critical point. I mean, we've been engaging with the Sean O'Driscoll, the chair of the ESRI, is on the Department of Public Expenditure's Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force. We've been engaging with that task force about the type of things that need to happen to help us deliver projects for the public. And we believe it's very achievable to do that.
We've never had as much money in the country. You know, you'd have to wonder how all of these different areas that Sean O'Driscoll talks about, transport, housing, water, just to name a few, how conditions are so bad.
Well, again, as I say, the cheapest time to do any infrastructure project is now. And I suppose that's the key thing, is how do we take the kind of, delaying factors out of the way? Because the longer you go, the more it's going to cost. That's just a fact, and if you've got a project that is planned and brought to a point of execution, say 5 years ago, and it didn't go ahead 5 years ago, it's going to be more expensive now. We've been looking at things in terms of this, in terms of working with Accelerating Infrastructure. How do we kind of streamline the approvals that are involved? Because of course there has to be approval and oversight when it's public money that is being spent. But does each layer and each stage bring added value? How can that be made more efficient? How do we align all the different delivery organizations? So, we will have a lot of electrification, the type of power supply that's going to be needed to deliver that as well. Working with the supply chain, getting contractors involved at earlier stages of project development so that when you hit the ground, you hit the ground running. And we had great success with that ourselves and the Office of Public Works and our contractor in Rosslare, Europort. We've had a €200 million program going there quite quietly, built around a working port that has just transformed the environment and is going to be completed on time and on budget this summer. So it's those type of initiatives that really will give the return that the people deserve, because it is ultimately the people's money that's going into it.
Yeah, and it's our listeners, it's the taxpayers, it's the regular punter that, the people relying on all of these services on a daily basis. Architect and environmentalist Duncan Stewart is with me on the line as well. How do you think we improve these different resources, Duncan?
What Barry said, I agree with, and Sean O'Driscoll, ESRI, I certainly agree, and the planner you spoke to, we do have an infrastructure crisis. And, our economy in Dublin is overheated. We are, if you like, there's too much economic growth, which means it attracts more and more people into our city, which puts more and more pressure on housing and more pressure on transport and our water supply. All of these infrastructures are under stress, under pressure. And we do urgently need massive developments in infrastructure. And if we take transport, for example, and I know there are good things going on, like, for example, Bus Connect is doing a lot of very good things. I think Barry mentioned there that, the electrification of the Dart Line, all of these things, these are really important. But there needs to be much, much more focus on public transport. And we have to understand that Dublin is the second worst city in Europe when it comes to traffic congestion. It's the 10th worst city in the world. And this is all caused by cars. Our cars overdominate our cities. The roads in our cities cannot take cars. So we have to urgently switch away from private cars during peak hours dominating our roads to a situation where public transport is given the opportunity to become the priority means of transport.
So no cars in the city centre are the equivalent, Duncan, when you say peak hours between, what's that, 8 to 9 in the morning and maybe...
I'm talking about from 6, Andrea, really, out in the outer suburbs.
So no cars at all?
If you think of commuters coming in, those commuters coming in cars overwhelm the city. In other words, our motorways are used as arteries for massive amounts of cars to come into the city and literally overwhelm the city. Now, if we don't tackle our motorways and convert them into what I call multi-motorways, where there is a dedicated, fast express bus lane, and that could be bi-articulated buses, these big, long, bendy buses, which carry about 200 people, on those motorways coming in and coming into the M50 and then a similar orbital route system around the M50, that would take an awful lot of the pressure off the city if that became a priority issue, because then it would at least leave the city itself inside the M50 with the situation where the car numbers would have reduced. But those roads then need to be that we connect people. If people change to public transport, they need to know that they're going to get to their destination. And all destinations are not into the city centre. Mm. An awful lot of people coming into Dublin want to get around the city to different destinations around the metropolis. So we need a well-integrated, well-connected public transport system. And buses are the things that can deliver it immediately and at very good cost. Mm.
So in order to do what you're talking about, just Duncan, to play this out for a moment, if we were to take that kind of radical decision that you're talking about today and we're to ban cars from whatever, 6 a.m. to 5 p.m, I mean, I can just imagine listeners thinking about
6 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm talking about peak hours in the morning.
Yeah, peak hours in the morning and peak hours in the evening, yeah, as well. Yeah. We obviously need to put the infrastructure in place in order to do that. Dr. Robert Egan is joining us as well, Duncan. Robert's a research fellow, in transport at the Centre for Transport Research at Trinity College Dublin. Are these the kind of measures we need to take, Robert?
So I think Duncan actually made several very good points there that I was thinking of making myself, just around the continued congestion, the very bad scores that Dublin gets year in, year out, and just a very concrete problem that we have a very inefficient transport system that just doesn't really work well to move people around. And in this respect, it's not just infrastructure, it's also about the reallocation of space to modes that are more sustainable. Duncan obviously mentioned public transport. This is absolutely critical. It's critical for the longer distance journeys as well that people might take by car. And then for the shorter distance journeys, you have active transport, walking, wheeling, cycling. And in the process of reallocating space and reducing access for motor traffic to some extent, you can have better places to live in as well. And then this kind of brings in wider questions then around developing all this new housing and making sure that it's transit-orientated development and that these are neighbourhoods and communities that people want to be in and that they have access to their essential services nearby as well. So I think all of these things need to be considered when we're talking about infrastructure and space and planning.
You know, when we talk about these sort of, you know, fairly strict or stringent, radical, whatever word you want to use, measures that are being suggested today, will it make any difference if we describe this, whether it be transport, water, infrastructure in Ireland? Does it make any difference if we declare it a state of emergency?
I think it's helpful to think about it as a state of emergency from the perspective that it needs to be disruptive. Some of the things that happen, it involves disruption, trying to change the system, trying to change how it works and how it's going to work in the future. And this is what a few of the speakers have been saying around the cheapest time to do it now, the least disruptive time to do it is now as well. And when you look at the car traffic system, congestion, you know, it's not going to get any better with bigger vehicles. Mm. People continuing to drive and then also maybe getting tired of not having alternative options that they feel are feasible. So there's no way around really making some difficult choices and causing temporary short-term disruption for long-term benefit, really. Yeah, so I think from that perspective, emergency is possibly a useful framing, yeah.
Okay, Martin's with me on the line today. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Martin, you're a... I think we've got Martin. No, we'll come back to Martin then in a moment. Dr. Matt Crowe is the chair of the National Water Forum. So quite a lot of criticism, Martin, of the water infrastructure here in Ireland at the minute. Is it as bad as people say?
The major problem with water infrastructure, with urban wastewater treatment and drinking water, is that we've had a lot of underinvestment, like going back decades, for both urban wastewater and drinking water treatment. It has improved in the past 15 years or so. It is certainly getting better than it was before. But there's an awful lot of catch-up to be made. And then the backdrop of that is that Ireland has got a growing population, which is different to many other countries in Europe. And on top of that, again, We've all of the risks associated with making whatever infrastructure we build now climate resilient. And like, that's a totally new issue compared to, say, 20 years ago when wastewater treatment plants and drinking water treatment plants would have been built without consideration of whether or not they were up to scratch when it comes to the future risks of both flooding and drought.
I presume that will take significant investment, will it, as well?
Well, it will. But, like, you know, so all these... The thing about... like, what we're really talking about here is implementation, right? So in Ireland, we're pretty good at developing plans for this, that and the other. We've also declared other emergencies, by the way. There's already been a climate emergency declared and a biodiversity emergency declared. And yet, in both those situations, we're well... You know, we have a lot of work to do to reach the targets that have been set, for example, for climate between now and 2030. So I'm not altogether convinced that calling something something results in a solution
makes
to the problem.
Yeah.
I think what does make a difference is understanding what the problem is. Like, you see, the thing about the planning bit addresses the question, why are we doing something and what is it we are going to do? The implementation questions are things like, how is it going to get done? Mm. Who is doing it?
Who's going to do
what
it?
What level does it happen to happen? Yeah, like how much is it going to cost? Well, who's going to pay for it? So they're much more complex, interconnected issues. And I think it was Barry Kenny who mentioned there earlier that a lot of infrastructure issues are interconnected.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're building housing estates, you need good transport.
Well, just somebody, I suppose, who's
dealing
with that on maybe a daily basis. Martin's with me on the line. Martin, you're working as a plumber. You're self-employed. You're obviously a busy man, I've no doubt. Like, how bad do you think our infrastructure is?
Shocking. I would tell you a story down in County Kilkenny. There's a good few villages that were sort of a lot of houses built around them back during the start of the boom. And the sewage systems couldn't cope with the demand. And now on a regular basis, there's tractors with large slurry tanks calling to the villages and empty the septic tanks and taking the main entrance treatment plant into the city of the Southern Road. That's what's going on.
So the infrastructure is just, it's not able to cope.
They give all the foundations for all these houses, and still, they never put in the facilities to cope with the bunch of houses. So Kilkenny at the moment, a huge boom in Kilkenny. The last number of years, new houses going up all over the place. And I know about 20-odd years ago, there was a major upgrade of the 3% in Kilkenny done. But whether that's going to be able to cope with the amount of houses being built in Kilkenny now, I don't know.
No. And what happens, Duncan Stewart, if we don't do something to address the infrastructure that we're talking about today?
What Matt Crowe just said there, you know, we have to implement, we have to take this on because it's getting worse. Like, traffic congestion is just going to come to a halt unless we make the shift away from the car to public transport. Just to give you an example, a bus that with two-thirds passenger seating, if you like, occupancy, compared to cars take up 35 times the road space as that bus with that number of passengers, you know, and 92% of all our CO2 emissions from people mobility is from cars. Buses are only about 6% and rail is only 1%. So we need to shift away from the car dominant, car centric mobility that we use in our cities during peak hours, you know. It's the peak hours that we need to solve for.
Hard decisions will have to be made. So if that's the case, Duncan Stewart, but also Barry Kenny, Martin in Kilkenny there too, Robert Egan, Matt Crowe and Derek White. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.